To the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories, which can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com. And it's available as always as a free download on iTunes. Today, as always, I have the privilege to talk with yet another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I'd like to say hello to Pauline. Hey, how are you today?
Hi, Pam. I am doing very well, although I'm very nervous to be on my very first podcast.
Well, that's natural. And let me assure you, there's nothing to be worried or nervous about. I'm really delighted that you're a guest with us today. So to get us started, could you tell us who you are and where you're from and what you do to keep busy?
Sure. Well, I am from Fort Wayne, Indiana, and I am a musician and a mom with those two things combined, I stay very busy in my life.
I bet. So, yeah. I bet. So, musician and a mom. So you balance both of those at the same time, it seems.
Yes, and sometimes not very gracefully, because as a freelance artist, usually my schedule is very feast or famine. So there's seasons where I'll be working maybe 60 hours a week. Oh. And that's really tough because there's no time to sleep. Somebody has to watch the kids. I got to figure out how will we get dinner made. And then there's seasons where I won't work for months at a time. So then I get to be full-time mom. So,
yeah.
And in those seasons, where my gigs are not super busy, then I do private lessons in my home, which is something that I really, really love doing as well. So,
So what type of musician are you?
Yeah, so I do many different things. My main thing I do is I play woodwinds, and I do keyboards as well for three different theaters. So that's what my main job is. And then I'm also play with a symphony in the area, and I'm also a singer-songwriter.
Wow. How did you get involved? What drew you to music?
Well, honestly, my stutter is a very big factor in why I play music for my career. And it's really just something that I could do that I don't have to speak to anyone. I can speak through my instruments. And as something, when I go to my gig, I go to my chair, I play the music in my book, and I don't have to stand up front and speak or present at all, ever, basically.
And you're happy with that?
Yes and no. I still kind of feel like, a lot of times I feel like, as a stutterer, my life path has come more out of what I believe that I can't do rather than what I would really like to do.
Yeah, I've heard that so many times from other people who stutter. But it sounds like, in a way, like you're really fortunate that, something that you are doing, you're really good at and enjoy. So, and I'm not sure that everybody who stutters gets that opportunity. So you may be indeed very fortunate.
Yes, I do feel fortunate and blessed by the Lord in my walk. And I do realize that there are many other jobs that don't require speaking that I may have ended up with that would have been far less fun than what I'm doing. So
Yes.
definitely.
So when did you first know that you were drawn to music and singing and that you were any good at it?
Right. Well, my mom started me in to piano lessons when I was 4 years old, and she said basically that I was really angry and moody. So she just wanted to find something for me to be able to channel those feelings into. And I think even at that young age, I just really loved it and just found something that I just wanted to do all the time. Then I started playing oboe when I was when I was 7 years old, which is really young to play woodwind instruments, but I just took right to it, and then I started doing saxophone when
Wow.
I was 12, and I just kept adding instruments on. And now my job basically is I get hired for a show, and they say, you need to play this instrument, and so I got to figure out how to play it and find one to rent or buy or whatever. And yeah.
Wow. So like you're like really like the proverbial Jill of all trades when it comes to music.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, when did you discover that you can sing?
That happened later in life. So I actually was probably in my mid-20s when I had been singing for church some, but I wasn't very good at it. And then somebody suggested that I do some voice lessons. And
Wow.
then after that, I learned how to actually use my voice properly and to grow my range. Yeah.
Wow. And of course, I'm gonna assume like many of us, when you stutter, I mean, when you sing, you don't stutter. Is that correct?
Right. Yes, that's correct.
So is that also what like drew you into singing?
Well, it is nice. It is wonderful to just be able to have the words come out, when I want them to, and not have to substitute words, but to say exactly what I meant to say, how I meant to say it.
Yeah. So I mean, that's speaking for you, right? Like you speak through your song and you express yourself through song, it sounds like.
Right. What I do struggle with is that even if you're a singer-songwriter, you go to your show that you're playing, you still have to talk to the audience. I mean, you still can't just say, I'm not gonna talk to anyone. I'm just gonna sing everything. That's weird. Like, you still have to speak. So I still do kind of have a wall with that, and I am, still kind of scared to go play out and do gigs just because I'm afraid I'm going to come across as not friendly or not a social person just because I prefer to just strum my guitar and just sing and not have to speak to anyone.
Yeah. So how do you deal with that? Like when it comes time to, speak to and interact with the audience? Do you just tell them, hey, I stutter, and hope you're okay with that? Or
Yeah, sometimes. And it depends on the day. I mean, sometimes I will just be really chicken and I just won't speak at all. I'll just sing. And then it is kind of awkward. And then sometimes I will speak to people and it's just really, really bad. And there's blocks everywhere. And then they kind of stop. And it's like, what is happening? And then like crickets chirp. And, you know, it's, I don't know. I feel like it's going to be weird either way.
Yeah.
So I really just not been doing much playing out lately, just because over the past few months, my stutter has been pretty bad. And so I've just kind of stepped back. But that is one of my reasons for wanting to do your podcast, is that I feel like I don't want to live my life in that fear with those obstacles. I want to get out there. I want to speak, even if I stutter. And
look at you. You're doing it right now. You're doing it amazingly.
Trying.
This is like amazing. You know, they say like, you know, to beat your fear, you know, you face your greatest fear, and, you know, you're doing that right now. But I also would venture to guess that, you know, the more you stepped out and got on stage and spoke to your audience, the easier it would become.
Yes. Yes, probably. I think as stutterers, I think most of us have seasons of speech, you know. I mean, I can't speak for everyone else, but I know I will have months, even years, where I will not be able to string two words together. And, you know, I won't make any phone calls. I won't talk to my kids' teachers at all, just because I'm just completely crippled and cannot speak. And then for 3 to 4 months after that, I'll be totally fluent and nobody knows I stutter. And it just goes in these swings that you can't control. And maybe other stutterers don't have that happen, but that's my experience in my life.
It happens with me, but it's typically not 3 or 4 months that I can go without stuttering. I might go 3 or 4 days and I appear completely fluent, which I think is actually a long time, 3 or 4 days. But even during those times, those 3 or 4 days that I'm fluent and passing successfully, the thought is always in my mind that, oh my God, I might stutter. And what is that person going to think? Or, you know, like, I'm like braced for, like, if I feel a stutter coming on, I'm braced for being ready to switch a word, or, you know, so I might be fluent for those 3 or 4 days, but the thinking about it doesn't go away. Is that kind of similar for you, or does it just disappear completely?
I think there are seasons where I can choose, like, if I can kind of slip into another character and kind of visualize myself as a confident, fluent person, and then I can speak fluently. But that takes so much energy and mindfulness that I can't keep it up every day of my life.
Yeah.
One thing that I found has been really helpful, though, is that I have join Toastmasters.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. So that has been great. When I'm at the Toastmasters meetings, I usually stutter horribly, like every other word. And there's this role at the Toastmasters meeting. One person's job at every meeting is to count how many times each person says,
The home counter, I know.
And so they've like stopped telling me how many times, because it's like 25 in a speech, right? But I just decided, you know, I don't care. I go there for me. And that's my thing, that I go there every other week and I stutter horribly, and all the poor people in my club have to sit through listening to me speak. But then for the next 2 weeks, I feel like, yeah, I can give speeches. I'm a confident person. And that gets me through for a while.
So have you given a speech yet?
Yes, I've given several. Yeah.
And does it really seem that your co-members, the audience, does it really seem like they're subjected to listening to you, or are they actually enjoying it?
When I talk to them, no. I mean, they say nice things about my speeches, and they, you know, enjoy learning about what I'm speaking about and those sort of things. No, they're all very friendly, nice people. But I always feel like, oh, these poor people.
Yeah. Isn't it funny how, like, we, the person who stutters, assigns so much more headspace to stuttering than anybody else does?
Yes. My husband tells me that all the time. He constantly says to me, you know, nobody cares about this as much as you do.
Mm-hmm. He's right. Yeah. He's right, you know, and I mean, there was a time, you know, when I was really, really covert, when, like, it was just like a constant buzz in my head. Constantly, I thought about stuttering all the time, 24 hours a day, mm-hmm. you know, even when I wasn't stuttering, you know, because it was just the fear of being exposed and judged to be something less than other people who didn't stutter. So my God, like, stuttering was like renting a whole house in my head, not just a right. room, you know, like a whole house. And, oh, thank goodness I don't do that anymore. Has that ever, have you ever experienced that to that degree?
Yes. Yes, definitely. I feel like it is something that I think about, all the time, probably. And, especially when I meet someone new, like, today, I took my kids, to day camp this morning, and I, had to talk to their counselor just to say, hi, here's my kids, here's what their names are. And I just was completely blocked, just could not speak at all, just because it was somebody new. Mm. And so my first thoughts are, she's going to think I'm weird. And then you stutter worse when you think that.
Right, right.
But I actually have had in my life, I've had people in my life who have told me that my stutter was something big that kept me from doing certain jobs or certain things.
Really?
And so that's been tough, that I actually have had people say to me, you can't do XYZ. And that's been hard for me. And, you know, I know now that that's not true, and that person's words I don't give any weight to now. But at the time, I was thrown by that for several years and did have to kind of overcome that and work through that.
Yeah, yeah. Now, see, had that been me, especially, like, in this second phase of my life, because I have, like, I have a definite demarcation line in my life, like, you know, before Pam and after Pam. And after Pam, early on, I would have been, like, determined to prove that person wrong. You know, right. I would have taken that as a challenge, that, oh, you think I can't do that? Well, let me show you. And I would have, you know, taken on that challenge to prove to myself, not necessarily to that person, but prove to myself that I could do it. Was the person, like, somebody influential, like a school guidance counselor or something?
Yes, he was actually, I may not get into this. This might be too personal to get into. But yes, it was somebody who had a say in my career. And that was hard for me because this was a path I wanted to go down in my career.
Yeah.
And then was told, you'll never be able to do that because you stutter. Mm-hmm. And I did not respond how, like, you would have, just because at the time I was not a strong, confident person. Mm. And I didn't really have a clear image in my head of who God made me to be, who I wanted to be, what my path was. And now I feel much more confident. And I do feel now, if someone would say that to me, I would say, you know what? I'm going to pray about this. Mm. You can say that to me, but I got to find this out for myself.
Yeah. Yeah. So your faith is quite important to you, obviously.
Yes. Yes. Very much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So have you ever had speech therapy?
Yes, but not for a very long time. So, mm-hmm. I think that the last time I went to like regular therapy was when I was, in like seventh or eighth grade.
Oh, okay.
And then I did go, to Holland.
Oh, Holland's in Virginia?
Yeah, to the Holland's Communication Research Institute. I did their 3-week immersive program.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when I was 22. I did that.
Wow. Did it help?
It's, yes, temporarily. I like their program, and there's good and bad with their program for sure. Definitely, if you do everything that they teach you to do, you will speak fluently and you probably won't have blocks. However, what I struggled with is, and this is what I found in many self-help books and those sort of things, is they really only talk about the physical aspects of stuttering.
Yeah.
You know, what does your throat do? What does your tongue do? How do you breathe? And for me, my stutter is not those things. I just, like, when I speak to my husband or to my children, I am completely fluent all the time. Well, which is probably why my husband thinks it's not a big deal, because he never hears me stutter. He's always with me. But when I meet someone new, or I have to, you know, do something for a class or speak like to my boss, when it's one of those situations where there's pressure, where you have to sound smart, like you know what you're talking about, then I stutter horribly. So I feel like for me, I can't speak for any other stutterers, obviously, but I feel for me, the psychological aspect of my stuttering is much bigger than anything physical.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever had any like regular counseling to address,
yes,
address that?
Yes. And it, really, really helped. I just found my issue with, psychological counseling is just that, in my stage of life, it's very hard to find the money, and the time to go regularly to see someone.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. And that's not cheap either. Psychological therapy, if you don't have insurance that covers it, can run into the hundreds per session. So yeah.
Right.
I too benefited from that. I only did about a year and a half of speech therapy when I was in my early 40s. And it did not work. It did not address my core with stuttering. And I felt like all the therapists wanted to do was teach me techniques to cover up my stuttering again, which is what I've been trying to do for years. And I didn't need that. I needed to deal with the baggage and the stuff that I'd been carrying around, and they didn't know how to do that. They weren't equipped to deal with the shame and the guilt and the very, very, very poor self-worth I was experiencing. So I was fortunate enough to find a psychologist who knew something about stuttering. At the time I was unemployed, so he was charging me something like $10 a session, because that would have been my copay had I still had insurance. And then we continued for 6 years, and it was like the best thing I ever did for myself. And in fact, even when I became employed again and got insurance, my insurance was like something ridiculous for behavioral health care, he continued to see me and only charge me $10 a session for
wow
that. Yeah, so it was like my lifeboat. And not only did we talk about stuttering, but also other things in my life that had been going on that I think were connected to stuttering, because I really think it is all entwined. I had a lot of avoidance issues. I had, you know, fear of expressing my emotions, and I think that is tied up in the stuttering stuff. So, So I certainly understand that it can be very expensive, and I was lucky that I had somebody that I cared for and that he cared for me at $10 a session. So
wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was. And it helped me get to where I am today, because, you know, I am open about my stuttering today, and I do feel like I'm a good communicator, even with a stutter. And I'm okay with talking about it. And I don't know if I would have reached that point unless somebody helped me deal with shame and stuff like that. Do you ever experience moments of shame?
Oh yeah, all the time. It's more like I just feel embarrassed by it. And I recently noticed over the past week, I was talking to someone and I got stuck on something. I bet my name probably. And I just said, you know, I just said, oh, sorry. You know, and that person was like, why are you sorry? And it's just kind of your natural thing to say, you know, I block, oh, so sorry. As if like I did something wrong.
Right.
By getting blocked on the word.
Right. We should, my mantra now is we should never apologize for who we are and how we sound. But I did that too years ago, you know, like I was embarrassed too. And I felt like if I stuttered on my name, like my name begins with a P too. You know, like I felt like I had to apologize for making them listen a few extra seconds, you know? And then
now
I look at that, I'm like, oh my God, that's like so silly to think that I thought that. Right?
Yes, absolutely. I do think just even in the past 10 years or so, just that our society has changed so much that we're more accepting when somebody's different. Mm. So maybe that's made it easier. I was listening to you interview somebody recently, and she's about, or she was like in her early 20s. And she was just talking about how she just doesn't care. She just stutters freely and she just lets it go. And I'm like, when I was going to school, that was not how we interacted socially. You'd be laughed at. You'd be made fun of, you know? So I do think society's changing where we can feel more free to stutter and people know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
and they're just more welcoming of people who have differences.
Yeah, I agree for the most part. I still think that because stuttering is relatively rare, i.e. there's only one in 100 of us, and particularly women, there's even fewer women who stutter. I think because the average person doesn't encounter somebody who stutters all the time, I think it's still like something that like elicits surprise and shock, you know? Mm. And because I've run across people. I recently had a medical professional who laughed at my stuttering, and when she asked me for my date of birth, I stuttered on both numbers, and she made a comment like, "It's not a trick question," and I was like really upset with that because I'm like, "God, you're a nurse, you know, like you treat patients, you see people every day, like why would you do that?" So, yeah, I think in some respects, we've come a long way in society, but I think stuttering is just still one of those that we need to get it out there more so that people realize that, yeah, it's one of those differences like, you know, like other people have, and just be respectful.
Right.
Has that ever happened to you?
Oh, yeah. I can't think of anything right off bat, but there's always the standard, you know, when they ask you for your name, and then you get stuck as we all do, and then they say, "Oh, did you forget your name?" There's always that ha ha ha, which I always just laugh, but I'm like, it's like those kinds of things really really hurt,
yes.
And like I don't know how to say, you know, that really hurts that you make me feel stupid, without seeming like I'm like weak or can't take a joke, so. I just kind of laugh along, but I do think people need to know that that's not funny to us because we deal with it every single day.
Right.
And it gets tiring for us. And that's one reason that I feel that it's so important, like what you're doing with your podcast and the people who have blogs out there and those sort of things. I think it is so important to get our voices out, and just for people to understand what stuttering is, and that all the different kinds of very intelligent and very capable people that are out there that are stutterers. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, it's very difficult because as stutterers, we want to hole up. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to get out there and let our voices be heard, but yet no one's going to understand us unless we can do that.
Right. And we need to be the ones talking about it. Like you are here today.
Yeah.
What is one thing that you specifically want people who don't stutter to understand about stuttering?
Can it be more than one thing?
Oh, absolutely, because I know it's more than one thing.
Okay, well, first of all, I want people to understand that our voice in our head is fluent, that we know what we want to say, and we know what we've studied in school, and we're not stumbling and stopping trying to think of what to say. That our brains work just fine. And it's just getting those words to come out where the problem lies. So I want them to know that, first of all, that internally, we're just like fluent speaking people. Also, I would just love it if society in general could just slow down and be a little more patient. Mm. And that's something that I've discovered. My stutter is horrible if I feel rushed. If I feel like you have to complete this in this amount of time, or if you're standing in line and the people, you know, in the line behind you are impatient or shuffling their feet or whatever, then I just absolutely can't speak. And also the interrupting is huge. If I'm trying to say something and somebody can't wait for me to finish and they either try to finish my sentence for me or they just kind of start to talk to someone else while I'm trying to say my sentence, then it's all done. Then I'm completely blocked and nothing's coming out. Right. So that's, I just wish everybody could just take it down a notch and just slow down. Just wait a few more seconds.
Yeah. That'd be better for everybody, actually, not just for people who stutter, right?
Right.
It'd be better for children who are just learning language and just learning to talk. It'd be better for the elderly that, through just sheer aging, have slowed down a little. And, you know, mm-hmm. and it would just make it easier for all of us, I think. I mean, you bring up such an excellent point. It would make it easier for us to just be present with each yeah. other, right? If we're listening patiently and not looking at the clock or not looking at, you know, my to-do list on my phone to see what my next appointment is. And yeah, you bring up excellent points. So to kind of wind down, do you interact with other people who stutter?
No, I don't. I don't really know anybody else who stutters, except I've got a handful of people I know, like, from Facebook groups that, I will chat with, on there. And I have, we used to have an NSA chapter that was about an hour from my house.
Mm.
So I went to one of those meetings and there was like two people there.
Oh.
But you know, and that's disbanded now too. So the closest NSA chapter is probably 2.5 hours from my house.
Oh, wow.
So I don't really know anybody else that I interact with face to face who stutters.
Yeah. Hmm. Well,
I wish I did. I wish we had more people here. And I thought about starting an NSA chapter or even starting a Toastmasters club just for stutterers.
Mm-hmm.
But my city is not very large, and I just don't think that we have very, very many stutterers in this area.
You don't know that, though. Right? Because,
true.
You know, we say statistically there's 1% of the pop population that stutters. Personally, I think it's more than that because many, many, many people don't self-identify as being a stutterer, you know, because we try to hide it. So I think there's a lot of people out there that do stutter, but they're covert about it. Mm. Or they don't want anybody to know, so they pretend, you know. You know, and that might be something for you to, you know, strive to set as a goal to really do open up a chapter in Fort Wayne. I think I even know who may have been the chapter leaders for that group. Christine used to live in Indiana, I believe. I don't know if that name rings a bell. Christine.
No.
Nah, mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I think that'd be great because I can tell you from experience, the camaraderie and the support and the feeling of family that you get when you hang around with other people who stutter, who get it, it's something. It's really powerful, and it's you know, it's a lot more than the written word on a Facebook page could ever be.
Right. So. And the whole social media thing, as helpful as it is to know that there are other stutterers out there, as we type things out in posts, it's still not helping us to learn how to speak because we don't have to speak.
Right.
So.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people use those Facebook groups as a crutch, as avoidance.
Yes.
You know, and you're
I've
right.
definitely done that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's far easier to be fluent on the page. And, you know, you have like keyboard warriors that'll say things that they would never say in person.
Yeah.
You know, we both know what I'm talking about there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But, oh my gosh, Pauline, this has been wonderful. This has just been a great sharing and I appreciate you being so honest about who you are and where you've come from and where are you going? What's your goal? What do you see yourself doing in the next couple of years?
Oh boy. well, I'm going to keep doing music for sure. I definitely just want to, I'm actually kind of trying to work hard right now, to work less and spend more time with my kids while they're young. Mm-hmm. But, I do have some goals in that, I want to learn how to be, a better writer. I would like to write more songs. I would like to start a blog that has essays for stutterers, just to kind of deal with these things that are all the non-physical aspects. I just want to learn how to write in order to help fluent people to understand what the world looks like to non-fluent people. Mm. Or what we feel every day as we go about our lives. So I'm going to spend some time just working on that and practicing it and write songs and be a good mom and play gigs and teach lessons.
And talk to the audience when you play those gigs.
And try to start talking to people more. Yes.
You know, I feel like I should make a connection to you with a singer, songwriter, musician friend of mine on the East Coast. Maybe you even know her, like from the Facebook groups, Rachel McCullough.
No, it sounds familiar, but I don't know if I know who she is.
Yep, she's a person. She's a person who stutters. She's a songwriter. She has her own band called Black Cat Habitat. And she plays a lot of gigs, mostly on the East Coast. I believe she's in Philadelphia, but she is just a wonderful person, and sounds almost like she's like you have a similar story. Mm. And boy, she just crushes it when she's on stage. She just does. So, and she writes as well. So I think maybe I will make an introduction if you're interested in meeting.
Yeah, that'd be
like
great.
Rachel. Yeah. I think I'll, so Rachel, we're talking about you on the podcast in case your ears are ringing. But Pauline, thank you so much for being a guest today. This was just one wonderful.
Yes. And I want to say thank you to you just for making a place where stutterers can be heard and just to share these things with the world.
And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.